Now there's a way to wake up on a Sunday morning, Bob.
Little Beach Boys.
Brian Wilson. Dennis. Who else is in the Beach Boys?
Mike Love.
Oh yeah, cousin Mike Love. Wake up, Paul. I know you and Marge are getting ready to shower.
West Coast girls are hip. I really dig those styles they wear.
They quit writing
and
music.
And the Southern girls with know. The way they talk.
Beatles,
they
Beach Boys, Stones. You folks are listening to You Get the Blessing, by the way.
Wake up.
I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belts. And we start the show each week with a little music we know trigger fond memories in your mind.
You know, I picked California Girls because now we have with us some great women today, real ladies, and the first thing that came to my mind was, hey, the girls are coming. So it's super to have our guests with us today.
Hang on a second, though. Yeah. Didn't the Beatles hear this song and write a couple of their own just right after the Beach Boys, almost copy them?
Well, they copied it in Back to USSR.
Oh, yeah, that
pretty
was
pretty blatantly. So.
Surfing USA, they wrote Back in the USSR. Yeah, they were good. Mm-hmm. Let's just stay here for a minute, Bob, and remember back in those days when you were hanging around the Rich Beach and listening to the Beatles. We could ever get Beach on board, could we?
Well, he was a lot more spiritual than we are.
True. Well, we do have ladies. I told you we'd have lady guests eventually.
I'm excited about the show because we've got a couple of, first of all, my wife's best friends that are with us today, but a couple of women that I have tremendous respect for that are doing some really cool stuff. So our guests today are Janet Wright and Kelly Evans, and along with everything else they're doing, what we eventually want to talk about is they've really created an amazing course. I'm going to say in spiritual formation, they'll probably, you know, go into a little bit more detail, but it's really an amazing approach. They've taken years and years of their own study and life experience and put it into a way to help people grow, not only spiritually, but in intimacy with God and create community. And it's a really cool thing. So I'm excited to have these guys on today.
We're glad you tuned in. Stay right here with us. You're going to be blessed. So ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Who wants to start? Pointing at each other. All right, let's start with you then, Janet.
Oh, boy.
Push that mic over there where we can hear your pretty voice. And just tell us a little bit about your background. Where were you born and raised, and what was it like around your home growing up?
Well, Bo, I was raised in St. Louis, Missouri, and I really was raised by really dynamic, believing parents, and went to church on Sundays. I think for me, it was almost like a Leave It to Beaver background, which I realize as I get older, that is very, very rare. And so I'm so grateful for that.
It's good, though, isn't it?
It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Good old Midwest. For me, even though I was raised in the church, the thing that really changed my life, I was in the first Young Life in St. Louis, so that ages me. And I really was introduced to Christ during that time.
You look way too young to have been in a YL club back in the 20s.
Wow.
you guys were contemporaries, so you guys were both coming to Christ through Young Life about the same time, Bo.
No, she's younger than me. I was 60, fall of 66.
Well, she is younger than you, but
I know.
You know, kind of that era, that
so,
Young Life era.
That's really great. And that's the first time the light went on for you?
It really did. And I had gone to Frontier. And it was a life-changing experience. And I really see where God used that to really set the direction and course of my life in a real significant way.
What attracted me was about Young Life was, if you all aren't familiar with it, is a lot of laughter and music.
Absolutely.
And girls.
It was fun.
It was fun, and it made it fun, and I finally said to Don Reverts, you know, what are we doing here? Are we just smashing pies into each other's faces? And no, there's actually some meaningful parts to this, and I had him explain it to me and met the Lord, so same for
me
you.
Me too.
Huh? Good.
Me too.
Who was your primary Young Life leader that you can recall?
Bruce Sundberg.
All right. And Bruce, wherever you are, way to go.
Well, I still am in touch with he and his wife, Beth. They live in the D.C. area. They're with Washington Fellowship.
And Don Reverts still says, Bo, 45 years of ministry for me, and you're my only convert. So If it's confusing to y'all, just go somewhere where it makes sense, like Janet and I did. YL for us.
You know, Janet went on to the University of Missouri and was one of the leaders, really, in Campus Crusade there. And I always think about the fact that while she was leading Campus Crusade, I was still trying to pawn off fake IDs to buy beer. So,
wow.
You know, we didn't
should've
really cross
finding him and help
tracks University of Missouri a little bit. Kelly, tell us a little bit about you and where you're from and background and everything.
I'm from Hutchinson, Kansas, originally. Grew up in Florida, Lombok Key, nice little island off the coast of Bradenton and Sarasota. And my story is different than Janet's. I had godly grandparents, but my family would just occasionally go to church. And my parents divorced when I was 10, and really my family fell apart. But God was always hovering, always in the background. And it wasn't until the spring of 88 that I really came to accept Jesus as my Savior. It was through an outreach dinner. Campus Crusade had an executive ministries branch in Tampa, Florida, and I was invited. I had no idea what an outreach dinner was.
I used to do those.
We
used to do those. Executive outreach dinners with Bill Bright and Irv Moss. What was that guy's name?
DeMoss.
Art DeMoss. And Mark DeMoss is a friend of mine. You were at one of these dinners.
I was at one of these dinners, and I had no idea what an outreach dinner was. I just wanted to please a girlfriend, you know, who had invited me to go. My husband couldn't go at the time, and so went with another friend. And, the message was so powerful that I knew I needed Jesus. I needed his forgiveness and his love. And so didn't know a whole lot about the Christian faith, but I really began to read Bible studies and, you know, really eventually just fell in love with Jesus.
And why do people flinch, Bob, for so many years before we finally get around to something that's comfortable for us where we make a decision, yes, no, or still going to hang loose?
I think in a massive number of cases, myself included and a lot of guys we know, it's misinformation and misunderstanding. You know, we have some image of what it means to, quote, be a Christian that has very little to do with Jesus and has, the fact that you can have a relationship with God instead of following a bunch of rules and regulations. So I think that for a lot of us, it's simply just getting a real accurate and clear understanding of what it's all about. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I think you and I both, had a moment in our lives where it was sort of this moment of clarity where you understood it and you thought, well, why in the world would you not do that?
That's
what
happened.
So
after y'all were off and running with the Lord and your own faith, things happened that led you to this point where I think we should probably get to the heart of what they do.
I will. And I was going to say, though, Kelly's husband, Mark, is one of our Narrow Gate guys. And
I saw Mark yesterday.
And we, of course, Gary Wright has been a friend of ours for many, many years. And so
we've loved him from the start. I'm not sure how many years he would actually count us among his friends.
Well,
he's been somebody that, wow.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to ask you kind of two questions here and that they go together. But why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys got to be friends? And I know Allison kind of became like the three amigos, but you guys have been friends quite a long time. And then tell us a little bit about how you began to really try and understand a little bit more about the spiritual journey, which is kind of the roots of then what you're doing now.
Janet was actually my Bible study leader years ago, probably 9 or so years ago. And just, you know, saw her, she loves Jesus. And it was obvious as she led this Bible study in Evergreen. And we kind of lost touch. I went to Denver Seminary and lost touch, kind of dropped out of life for a while as I was studying. And then I had this desire to get involved in our church. And Janet was starting a ministry. And it was truly because of her reputation, because of who she is and who I know her to be, that I joined this ministry. And truly through that, I would say our friendship just really gelled together.
Great.
And God really did weave our hearts together. Mm-hmm. And then Allison was grafted in.
Oh, you know, by the way, Bo, about an hour from now, these guys are going to be teaching this class that we're going to talk a little bit about. So, you know, we've stole them away from wherever they were before, and they're now part of the Highline Community Church bunch. But well, tell us a little bit about life then, and what does life stand for?
Life stands for living intentionally, free and equipped.
Okay.
Kelly and I both had been real involved with Christian ministry. And I think over time, there was a realization that we were really, really busy and we were really, really tired. And a lot of different circumstances happened that were very parallel in our lives. And we resigned from the ministry we were involved with and decided that we began thinking that maybe we needed a major paradigm shift in what it really meant to live in a really intimate and dynamic relationship with Jesus. What did it mean to really know that Jesus loved me? That it was not that I was doing a lot of things for him, but that my whole identity was based on who Jesus said I was, that I was beloved. For me personally, when a lot of this kind of hitting the wall happened, I think the verse that was so significant is in Revelations 2. And this is in an amplified version. It says, I know your industry and activities, laboring, toil, and trouble, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left or abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. And I think for me, I had become so busy serving that, you know, I was always on the run taking Jesus with me, but I had not learned to sit and really be with him and to really recognize and hear his voice. It was life-changing.
Probably an occupational hazard for almost any of us that, you know, we really perhaps have some sort of a pretty significant encounter with Christ, changes our life. We start out remembering that it's not because of anything we've done, not because we're, you know, good or better than anybody else, but actually the contrary, that we, you know, become aware of this tremendous need in our life. And you know, we kind of get started, you know, in grace and wanting to have a relationship. But then, you know, it's sort of natural to want to eventually do something. You begin to serve, and over time, sometimes you get so sucked into that you lose this intimacy, which is really, I think, what you guys have done a great job of trying to figure out. How do you help people on that journey to enter back into not only intimacy with Christ, but really with each other? So,
well, let me just say that part of the, I think Kelly and I are learning. We certainly don't have this all figured out. But as we were starting to chew on what does it really mean to have a paradigm shift, to enter into an intimate relationship with Christ, we walked the lake in Evergreen. And I hate to think how many miles we walked just talking through.
That's why you're both so thin, by the way. So. Helps.
Talking through, going back to basic truths, and how did that really apply to our lives? How did that change our lives? And then Allison, of course, was brought in. I've known Allison for years, and I just kept thinking.
I have too.
And I thought, Allison and Kelly would love each other. And Allison had gone through a very parallel set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so it was really the three of us that we would share the time that we spent with the Lord and how Jesus was meeting us intimately. And what were we learning? And what did each of us think about this? And so it's not so much that it's a program. It is, I mean, I'm hoping, I guess my hope is that we're teaching what experientially we have learned. It's changed our lives. It's changed our friendship. It's changed our concept of community. I think it's changed our understanding of what it means to love God, ourselves, and others wholeheartedly.
Okay, so someone's listening this morning and they're out there and they're thinking, you know, that sounds pretty good, or that's true in my life. What are some of kind of the sort of tangible steps that you guys help people walk through to begin to experience what you're talking about?
I think the first part is to really experientially and just to internalize the love of Christ. Really understand that and know the love of Christ, that it is true, and that God is for us. And I think that begins a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. In and there's also a willingness to, you know, when deep calls to deep, when God is initiating mm-hmm. movement in your life, to make space for him mm-hmm. and to say, yes, you know, enter that chaos, hit that wall, enter the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. And the rewards are just many, are great and fabulous. But there is pain involved in that process mm-hmm. as well.
So when you say the idea that God is for us is one of mm-hmm. the first concepts that leads you to a shift in your thinking, I guess we're saying then by assumption, most people are walking around thinking God's not for us.
That's right, and that we have to earn his love, that I am not good enough to receive his love, and that is just so counter to what Christ's message is. He is love. Mm-hmm. And
glad to hear women saying this, because competitive, hard-headed men like us, I mean, it's, I don't know why we come out trained to compete, and we wish that our young life leader would have said, you know, if you'll do these 100 push-ups every morning, and in the evening these chin-ups, and right before you go to bed, some sit-ups, that will bring on spiritual growth, and you can earn your way into this deal. That would have been easier than, like, what? By faith, we have to do what? And you're telling me, as much as I've messed up, this God still loves me and wants me. So it's right on the mark what you're saying.
I think the other thing, you know, we all say Jesus loves me, this I know. I think what I realized is I really, 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 really love Jesus. But someplace in the back of my mind, I wasn't completely convinced that God loved me. I mean, life is tough. We live in a really broken world. And so I think what Kelly and I have talked about is what we conclude about the way God views us really does set the direction for our personal pilgrimage and spiritual growth. When you know at the very core of your being that you are loved by the Creator God of the universe, you are accepted by him, that is where your identity is found. I don't have to compete with Kelly. I don't have to be jealous of her. I want her best. I want the best for Allison. I want the best for you guys, because I'm not you. God has a plan and a purpose for my life that is unique to me. And my responsibility is to get on the same page. In Matthew, Jesus said, come follow me. And it's that verse that says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. For me, I stopped with come follow me and I will make you. And that was life-changing for me, that Jesus had plans and purposes for my life that were unique to me in this generation. It's been the most freeing concept I think I've ever had. And out of that, there has been such a deep sense of community that has really developed, because we want the best for each other. We don't, there's not ego.
You know, I think about, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the, you know, the passage in Romans 12 where Paul talks about being renewed by the transformation of our minds. And certainly, for many of us, maybe that have grown up in a performance-oriented family, maybe where even the concept of a father that loves and cares for you is totally opposite of what our experience was. What kinds of experiences do you guys try and lead people through to kind of really have this transformation of the mind? Because it's not something, you know, you can just say, hey, you need to know that God loves you. I mean, you know, that's almost puts more guilt on someone. So anyway, what kinds of experiences do you give people to kind of help them with that?
Well, we encourage them to sit with the Lord, to be still and know that he is God, and to meditate on specific passages that relates to God's love for us and really soak in that love. I mean, there's nothing we can say to make this paradigm shift happen, but there is something mysterious and spiritual happens when you sit in the presence of Christ. And so we would encourage that. You know, we do it through engaging the senses. We listened to this wonderful adult version of Jesus Loves Me over and over last Sunday, and it has a way of sticking with you and staying with you, that Jesus loves me, this I know for sure. And so just really, it's just sitting with the Lord. and trying to grasp that love that he lavishes on us.
And I think you actually kind of help people know how to do that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some of how you've actually experientially led people into those kind of times, because for a lot of us, that's real foreign, you know, way of thinking, I think.
Well, I think what Kelly and I realize, there's been a lot of emphasis on spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines. They're tools. Disciplines are tools. They're things that, at least in the evangelical community, quite often we've not been exposed to. And as Kelly and I engaged in Lectio Divina and Examine and some other exercises, we found that they were really helpful in creating a more intentional, intimate relationship with the Lord.
And okay, so just real quick, let's take one of those and explain, for instance, like what you use the term Lectio Divina. What is that?
Well, it's a Latin term.
Sounds pretty darn good, I might
have. For sacred
reading. We were going to have that for lunch, but I wasn't sure what it was. So,
it's a Latin term for sacred reading, and it's just a way of letting Scripture speak to you. There's kind of four movements that you go through, and you read the word out loud and reflect upon what God is speaking to you through His word.
Good stuff. Now, y'all jump in and correct me if I'm wrong. That's okay. Your purses are going off. Mine did, too. I'm going to have to call you back here in a minute. But I have this thing I have been doing with my family and sometimes my close friends like Bob. At age 60, it feels right to say this. So if I'm feeling worked or pushed, I'm very comfortable saying to my family, you know, I don't have any points to earn with you people. I don't have anything to prove. And that's what you're making me feel like. So why don't y'all just...
That's your extended family, by the way. That's not Gary.
No,
and
I say it mainly to them.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable finally just thinking, if I'm with somebody that makes me feel like I've got points to earn and something to prove, that feels strange to me. So maybe I'm off there. But I think some of what you're saying is with God, when you do get comfortable with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that, hey, this is how you come to a relationship with God, and it's not about a bunch of spiritual push-ups. There's nothing you can do to earn it or prove yourself, so you might as well just accept that. Mm-hmm. Am I on the mark there or in the twilight zone?
I think you know, for sure you are. We have divided this course into three movements. One is life with Him, in Him, and for Him. The first thing is to help people develop really an intimacy with Christ. The second one is to really understand that all of us have baggage that we bring into our spiritual life. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you've gotten all cleaned up. And there's certain dynamics of personality, of ways we were approved by our family or friends, different patterns of behavior, that we bring those into adulthood. And to understand what that is, to understand what our unique talents and abilities are as well as our spiritual gifting, and then move out of that into life for Him, begin serving out of that dependence on who Jesus Christ is in our life and who we are, how He's made us, to address patterns of sin in our lives that feel familiar to us, feel normal, because that's the only thing we've ever known. So we think that it's a little bit a different way of looking at how do you grow in Christ. Mm. It's
good,
so there
good.
You have it.
So we better start wrapping up by saying, how can people jump in here and get the next dose of this?
Well, first of all, this is a little tricky because, you know, that as we've been offering this initially and kind of getting this going, I really see this, I was thinking this morning, as sort of the spiritual underlying architecture of Highline, because I think that my dream is to see every person be able to go through what you guys are doing, because I think it has a tremendous amount of impact. And our hope is over and over to begin to be able to provide opportunities for folks to go through the class. And it's so powerful in terms of the intimacy that's developed with people that we close it. So once a group has started in at about the 1 month point, we don't let people just sort of drift in and out, because you lose the trust that's been developed within the group. So what we have to do is then, once the sequence is through, our ideas, we'll just keep recycling this. And hopefully, you know, first of all, I think that this is going to get bigger than just one church, and these guys are working on getting it into book form and curriculum. But at least, you know, for us and at Highline, the opportunity would be to kind of come get plugged in with us, and then as a new course opens up, that you can step into it and be a part of it.
So Highline Community Church, just north of the corner of Arapahoe Road and University, on the west side of the street, across the parking lot from Goodson Rec Center, and
on the park.
And Bob Belts, my co-host, is the senior pastor there, and the smartest man in the world, in my opinion.
Now, if you come now at 9 o'clock, which is when the life course is, there are other opportunities where you can get plugged in with groups and study. But that's really when we teach the life courses, at 9 o'clock, and then worship at 10. So
somebody's listening that needs to come to Highline Community Church, do it this morning. Don't waste another day. Come on over there. We'll love you up. And ladies, great job. Congratulations on, that's not the right word, hooray that God's led you to this point. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.